Pope Benedict arrives in the Spanish capital on Thursday morning to attend the final 4 days of the World Youth Day event. But what are the highlights of this papal visit to Madrid? And what are some of the novelties of this particular trip? I sat down with my colleague Emma McCarthy just before she left for the Spanish capital to find out more details. This is going to be a particularly busy World Youth Day event for Pope Benedict, isn't he? He's got 9 major events to preside over in his 4-day visit to Madrid. That's more than normal, isn't it?
Yeah, because we have to remember it's not just World Youth Day this time. It's a World Youth Day, of course, but it's also including a papal state visit to Spain. Even though the Pope has been to Spain 3 times, he has been to Valencia for the meeting of the families. He has been, of course, last year to Santiago de Compostela for the closing of the Holy Year. And he's also been to Barcelona to consecrate the Basilica to the Holy Family, La Sagrada Familia. He's never actually made a state visit to Spain before. So not only will this 4-day visit include, of course, the major appointments for World Youth Day, it will also include diplomatic protocol, visits for diplomatic protocol. So, of course, his meeting with the head of state, King Juan Carlos, and a meeting with the head of government, Prime Minister Zapatero. So it adds to his schedule.
OK, let's go through his schedule. He arrives in Madrid on Thursday at noon. Tell us a bit about his engagements on that first day.
Well, the first day isn't so bad. He arrives, as you said, at noon, and again, being a state visit, his first event will be the welcoming ceremony, which will take place at Barajas Airport in Madrid. It's the international airport there. He will be greeted by King Juan Carlos and the Queen, and there'll be 2 speeches. Juan Carlos will go first, the King will welcome the Pope to Spain, and then, of course, Pope Benedict XVI will give his first address to the people of Spain. That address will be very much addressed to the people of Spain rather than, shall we say, the young people from around the world. Then he has no other major appointment until the evening at around 7:30, where he will go to the main square in the centre of Madrid to be welcomed by the other people who are waiting for him to arrive, who are, of course, the estimated 1 million young people from all across the world. There he will be greeted by them. There'll be representatives of the young people who will address him. Also, of course, the Cardinal, Archbishop of Madrid, Cardinal Arauco Varela. And then the Pope will give his first speech to participants in this World Youth Day event. That's on Thursday.
Okay, moving on to Friday. We see he's scheduled to meet with young women religious, followed by a meeting with young university professors. I gather that all of these people are under the age of 40. Am I right there?
Yes, it's very much keeping with the theme that this is World Youth Day, but looking perhaps beyond the direct events that many of the young pilgrims will be taking part in. Pope Benedict wanted to look at a wider area of the Spanish church and Spanish society. So it's quite interesting because the young female religious he'll be meeting with are cloistered nuns, and it's expected that there is going to be more than 1,000 of them waiting for Pope Benedict XVI in a place called Patio de los Reyes. The cloistered religious women have received special permission to travel to this palace where they are going to be addressed by Pope Benedict XVI. It'll be the first time that they will have many of them will have left the convent since taking final vows. And you're right, a lot of these women religious would be under the age of 30. And that will shock many people because in today's world, many people think that there are no longer vocations to religious life, particularly cloistered religious life.
Indeed. And it's also the case that the university professors too, I gather, have all got to be under the age of 40.
Yes, well, this is another aspect to Pope Benedict XVI's pontificate that we've become increasingly familiar with. He is often termed the Professor Pope because that was his lifelong vocation, if we want. It's the teaching when he was a professor in Regensburg, a profession, a mission that he has carried on into his papacy. He still has members of his old classes who take part in this summer school every year when he's in Castel Gandolfo. It was something he particularly asked for. He said he wanted to meet the next generation of professors. Now, these aren't only Spanish professors. These are young professors drawn from throughout Europe. Again, another aspect of Pope Benedict's mission. He's very concerned about education. He has also spoken about what he describes as an educational emergency among the young people of Europe today. This is his way of speaking directly to the people responsible for education.
Now, an interesting feature of Friday is that there's going to be this group of 12 lucky young people who will get to have lunch with the Pope at the Apostolic Nunciature. How do they get chosen for this? And how many questions are they allowed to ask the Pope? How does it sort of work?
Well, I was speaking to the organiser of World Youth Day, well, the media contact for World Youth Day, and asking her this very question, Susie. And she said that traditionally there are 10 young people chosen, two from each continent. So you will have two young people representing Europe. You'll have two young people representing the Americas, North America and South or Latin America. Two young people representing Asia and two young people representing Africa. And then there is also two young people who represent the Spanish youth. These young people are drawn from the volunteers.
Are they drawn from a hat?
Yes, literally. It is literally a case of being an almost lottery system. But they're drawn from the volunteers who have been working in Spain for the last year, leading up to the organization's World Youth Day. It's not a case of being drawn from among the pilgrims. And they are very lucky. Usually these lunches last around an hour and a half. If we remember the last time the Pope had lunch with young people during World Youth Day, we're going back now to Sydney 2008. It was an hour, hour and a half. Father Federico Lombardi, the Holy See spokesman, said afterwards that generally it was the Pope who was listening to the young people. Generally what would happen would be that the Archbishop of the city where the World Youth Day is taking place presents the young people to Pope Benedict XVI. And then each young person begins to present themselves also and speaks about their reality. And every now and again, the Pope might interrupt with a question or vice versa, but it's quite a familial atmosphere of this lunch. That's what's always been underlined. It's nothing pre-prepared, pre-planned. It's a very, very familial atmosphere.
Friday also sees an official meeting between Pope Benedict and Prime Minister Zapatero. What's likely to be discussed at this encounter, do you think, Ema?
Well, the encounter officially is going to be a private one. It's going to take place behind closed doors, and the schedule has allotted half an hour for the conversation between Pope Benedict XVI and the Spanish Prime Minister. I think without doubt issues that are very close to the heart of not only the Church in Spain but the Pope Benedict himself will be discussed during this meeting. I mean, in recent years, apart from legalising divorce, apart from liberalising abortion laws, the undermining of the family, legislation for the family as understood between a man and a woman, the traditional vision of the family, these are all issues that have been very much at the forefront of the Spanish Church's campaign, shall we say. I think these will be key issues during that conversation, but also I think the economic crisis. We can't forget that Spain is one of the countries that has been hardest hit by the economic crisis. It has the highest percentage of unemployed young people in Europe. It's up to 29% now. Being World Youth Day, being youth the focus of this trip, I think the Pope will also speak to Prime Minister Zapatero about that and about his vision of how he's going to resolve it, even if we must remember only a month ago Zapatero called early elections for Spain, which will take place in November. So it'll be an interesting conversation.
Okay, Friday ends with the Way of the Cross with young people in a Madrid square. Can you tell us briefly something about that?
Of course. I think that many people who have followed World Youth Day, particularly the recent World Youth Days, so I'm thinking of Toronto, I'm thinking of Sydney. The Way of the Cross has always become one of the most powerful and spectacular events during World Youth Day, when the young people literally perform carrying the World Youth Day cross, which is a very big wooden cross, around the city, through the streets of the city, and they relive Christ's passion. This year it's going to be slightly different. Why? Instead of it being brought through the streets of the capital Madrid and around the city of Madrid, it's going to take place in the central square. And the stations are going to be installed at certain points around the square, so it will travel but only around the central square. Why? Well, there's two reasons particularly for this. There have never been so many young people registered for a World Youth Day before. So they're estimating 1 million young people. So the idea is, in order to get as many people to participate in this event as possible, to keep it in one enclosed area. That's the first thing. The second thing is, World Youth Day is taking place in Madrid in August, in the hottest days in August. So the physical demands of carrying a cross around a city in that heat would be too much even for the youngest persons. There is, of course, another reason, and this is a change to the way it's going to be celebrated. Usually for the Way of the Cross, the Pope would be present for the first station. He would, of course, open the Way of the Cross with a prayer, and he would perhaps give a few words to the young people, and then it would be the young people themselves and the priests and bishops who are present who would remain till the end of the Way of the Cross. The Pope would usually leave. This time Pope Benedict has said he wants to stay for the entire Way of the Cross. He wants to be there for all 14 stations, and he wants to speak to the young people once it has concluded. This will also give Pope Benedict the chance to participate in it, because I don't think it can be expected to follow a Way of the Cross around a city where the temperatures could be well into their late 20s, early 30s.
I would say in their late 30s.
Or even in their late 30s. Well, temperatures would be far too high. So that's one of the reasons why it's changed.
Now, Saturday sees an interesting development, a new development, that we're going to have a Pope Benedict hearing confessions from three or four young people. And as far as I know, this is the first time, isn't it, it's ever happened at a World Youth Day that the Pope is personally going to be hearing confessions. How did the idea come about for this?
Again, apparently this was an idea that the Pope had wanted inserted himself. He was the one who decided that he wanted to hear confessions. Pope Benedict XVI has often spoken about the fact that the sacrament of reconciliation seems to be overlooked a lot in the church nowadays, and it is, of course, an integral, fundamental part of the preparation towards any Eucharistic celebration. Therefore, by, I think, the gesture of hearing confessions, once again underline that the sacrament of reconciliation is nothing to be afraid of. It's an important part of our Christian witness and our life of faith. It's going to take place in a park which isn't too far from the nunciature of where Pope Benedict XVI is staying. It's going to take place very early in the morning. Again, the heat here is a factor.
And how are they going to choose the young people? Or is it a case of first come, first served?
Again, they're going to be chosen from the volunteers because, of course, it's the easiest way. When you've got more than a million people, how do you choose? The best thing to do is you have this army of volunteers who represent all the countries of the world, so they will be once again chosen by lottery from the volunteers. The only thing that delimits the process of choice is the fact that Pope Benedict XVI obviously is a native German speaker and he's fluent in Italian and French, so therefore the confessions will be heard in German, Italian and French. Therefore, the three young people will be Germanic speaking, French speaking and Italian speaking.
Now, he's got a lot of other engagements on Saturday. He's got a mass with young seminarians, then he's got lunch with cardinals and bishops, and then he's meeting with disabled children at a Catholic hospital. So a very busy schedule.
Again, yes, Friday and Saturday really are the busiest schedules for Pope Benedict. This is something we've seen not only with Benedict, but also with John Paul II. It's very much including within any pastoral visit to any country, the idea of the least, the forgotten, the marginalised, be they the elderly, the sick or the disabled. And so on his way towards the Cuatro Ventos airport, which is just outside is Madrid and where really the culminating events will be held, he is going to stop at the St. Joseph's Institute for the physically and mentally challenged young people. Again, once again, youth is a theme here. He will spend half an hour speaking with them. He will address them. And then he will make his way to the Cuatro Ventos airport.
Which, just for the sake of our listeners, of course, is for the main event on Saturday, the prayer vigil with young people at this military airport, right?
Yes, Emma? It's a huge space just outside Madrid. And I've been watching on the World Youth Day website where they have podcasts and video clips of the work that's going on there for the stage to set the scene for the youth vigil and, of course, the mass. The stage, once I think those who of our listeners who will be watching it on television, they will be literally, their breaths will be taken away. It is massive. The young people will be walking to Cuatro Ventos. They will be taking part in a pilgrimage walk. So they will, although Pope Benedict will be hearing confessions on the Saturday morning, the young people themselves in their local language groups with the 270 bishops and the thousands of priests who are there, they will make their confession. And then they will begin a pilgrimage walk. So from all four corners of Madrid, they'll begin to walk throughout the day, throughout Saturday, towards Cuatro Ventos. There they will take part in the prayer vigil, which really is a celebration, I suppose, of young people in the church. It begins with, you know, a liturgy of the word. Pope Benedict XVI will address the young people, after which there will be the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. And that is the moment of prayer, where he will lead them in a recitation of the rosary. And then there'll be the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And people are then invited to spend the night in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament in preparation for Sunday's event.
So Sunday, the final day, and of course, it's probably the highlight of the entire visit, the celebration of the closing mass for World Youth Day, where we're going to get the biggest numbers of people, right?
Yes, I think that on Sunday it won't just be a case of the young people who will have been taking part in the catechesis and workshops and musical performances and theatrical performances and film previews throughout the week. It won't just be them who will take part in this Mass on Sunday. It will also be the Catholics of Spain, those who want to come and see Pope Benedict and celebrate a Mass with him. So there they are expecting anything between a million and a half people to be present in the Cuatro Ventos airport for that celebration. It is a Sunday Mass. And following it, there is, of course, the recitation of the Angelus. The Pope will be giving his homily. That is the most anticipated speech from the Catholic point of view. The most anticipated address will be this homily given on the Sunday by Pope Benedict XVI to the world's young people, to the young people of the world.
Well, he's likely to pick up, presumably, on the theme, rooted and built up in Jesus Christ, firm in the faith.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, it was chosen. It's really St. Paul's mandate to the Christians, to the early Christian communities. You'll be definitely picking up on that, being a great Pauline scholar. It couldn't have been a better theme that could have been chosen for Pope Benedict. And then after the Andrus Address, he will also announce to the world where the next World Youth Day will be held, although we already know where the next World Youth Day will be held. It's already been announced by the media worldwide, which is going to take place in 2013 in Rio de Janeiro. 2 years, of course, because 1 year after that, we have the World Cup, so everything has to fit in. So there will then have the handing of the cross from the Spanish organizing committee to the young people of the Brazilian organizing committee. The cross will be handed over, the icon that travels together with the cross will be handed over, and they will begin their journey from Spain across the world to Rio.
I was speaking to my colleague Emma McCarthy, who is our correspondent for the World Youth Day event.